And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 194 of Radio Free Asgard. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm your host. Welcome along to the show. And we're coming at you, as we always do, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where it is springtime at last. I mean, really springtime now. I mean, it was springtime before. Had some warmer weather, had some flowers and stuff. But now it's like half the trees didn't have any leaves last week, and then all of a sudden, all of them have their leaves. It's like happened overnight. So now it really feels like springtime here. And gorgeous, gorgeous weather we've been having, I have to say. Avengers 2 is out, and for once I wasn't the last person in the world to see it. We're going to be talking about that in a couple of weeks, but before we do that, I wanted to give people a chance to actually see the movie, and then I'll probably put a posting on the Facebook page. By the way, we have a Facebook page. You can come look for Radio Free Asgard on Facebook, and you'll find us, and feel free to join. But I wanted for, you know, most of the people, if not everybody who's active in the group, to have seen the movie before I go and start yakking about it on the air. I definitely have some thoughts about it, as I said last time. And speaking of the Facebook group, there's a couple new people on board. Yeah, so a big shout out here to our new arrivals. And the first, of course, Silver Star. And we've mentioned him on the show before. He is, of course, our youngest listener. And now he has his own Facebook page, so has asked me to add him to the group. And another shout out here, warm welcome along to Zeb Oswalt. And Zeb, I've seen him around in other forums and apparently he listens to a lot of the same podcasts I do. So, yeah, he's good, got good taste there. And so welcome along, Zeb, to the show. All right. So we're doing a Thor issue this week, but we're actually skipping over one. And the reason for that is the Mighty Thor number 17 of Volume 2 is actually part one of a four-part story. And for some reason, they just threw that right in the middle of this Enchanter story. And I don't want to break up the Enchanter story with that four-part thing. So we're going to be skipping over Thor number 17 and moving on to issue number 18 and continuing on with this story of the Enchanters. And hopefully things will flow better. And then we'll go back. We'll go back and cover that, the Eighth Day story that kind of ran through Thor, Iron Man, Spider-Man, and the Juggernaut miniseries. So anyway, without any further ado, let's just go ahead and get right to it.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, Mighty Thor.
Indeed. And as I said, this week we are covering The Mighty Thor number 18. The cover price is $1.99. December 1999 is the cover date. Cover art is beautiful, beautiful job here by John Romita Jr. Shows Thor and Odin against the Enchanters. And the Enchanters are blasting Odin with their yellow energy bolt, and Thor's right there in the front smashing one of them across the face with this hammer. Really nice cover. Right? It's a really nice dynamic cover. It's a good J.R. Jr. drawing, and that's something we haven't seen enough of lately. Anyway, we open up to the splash page where we have the Warriors 3, Detective O'Neill, Demetrius, who's a secret police detective, and, of course, Hannah, and they are in battle from the looks of it. And, of course, there's a little bit of a narrative here. Battle for dashing Fandral. It's an opportunity to display courage and bravery, qualities appealing to fair maidens far and wide. For Hogan the Grim, any chance to cut loose with savage prowess is to be relished. For Voluminous Volstagg, conflict is generally to be avoided, though never shirked. For others, such as Hannah Fairmont, it's sheer panic, fear, and terror all rolled into a mighty adrenaline rush. For Detective Demetrius Collins, it means upholding one's sworn duty to serve and protect. But he and Detective Brady O'Neill both know the oath is useless, for the foes they fight, the creatures who are trying to kill them, were just minutes ago human, as you recall. And Rakt had transformed a bunch of the passersby into these weird gloopy demon things, and they are now kind of uniform. It seemed like last issue they kind of all look different. Now they all kind of look like Groot, and they're attacking the Warriors 3. We get a double page spread here, which is it doesn't fit together quite right. I don't know why. Anyway, so we have the Warriors 3, and Hannah is kind of right in the middle of them with a 2x4, and everyone is trying to fight these things. And Fandral says, "Have a care, Asgardians. These monsters who attack in waves were but innocent mortals, until Enrakt the Enchanter transformed them into grotesque atrocities." "Bah, their ferocity demands a battle to the death," says Hogan. "Get away! Get away! Get away," says Hannah, as he's swiping him around. "Shoot to wound and worry about it when we're safe," says Demetrius.
"Thy wisdom is beyond question, Hogan," says Volstagg. "We must slay the foul monstrosities, lest we ourselves be slain."
And Demetrius is like, "Pull back before," and he gets knocked down by one of the monsters, and they knock out Detective O'Neill as well. And apparently has slashed his throat with his claws. And Hannah's like, "That thing slashed O'Neill's throat. We have to get them to a hospital before I." And all of a sudden there's this giant explosion, sort of giant lightning explosion from the looks of it, with a giant crack. And we hear a voice, "Get thee back, foul perversions of life." And it turns out, of course, to be Thor. And we get the proper splash page. The mighty Thor, the deadly living talismans. Dan Jurgens was the writer. J.R. Jr. and Dick Giordano were the artists. That's interesting. I haven't seen him in a Marvel book forever. Gregory Wright was the colorist. Comicraft's Wes Abbott was the letterer, Tom Brevoort was the editor, and Bob Harras was the editor-in-chief. And the splash is also a double-page spread, so that's this is a vertical double-page spread, so interesting. "Let it be known far and wide that those who threaten the friends and allies of Thor, son of Odin, and protectors of glorious Asgard, do court the everlasting fury of mighty Mjolnir unleashed." And yeah, that's what he's doing. He's unleashing mighty Mjolnir. And the Warriors 3 is like, "Thor, we did fear the worst."
"Aye, for thy whereabouts were unknown to us all. Though thy plight was evermost in my mind, I was detoured into another, even more dire conflict with the behemoth known as Juggernaut." And
well, like I said, we're going to go back to that because this is really a proper continuation. And he was only gone for a minute, you know, so anyway. "Now what, the Uru Hammer of Thor created by the mystic might of Odin himself?" "No, it wasn't. We've a force of magical energy that shall push thee all aside." And with a shkrakkle, all these demons go flying, and they revert to mortal form. Interesting. And Fandral's like, "Hela's kiss, look! The creatures revert to mortal form."
"Thanks be to thee, Thor, though Volstagg was about to do the same."
"Thank God it's over," says Hannah. "But where's O'Neill? Has anybody seen Brady?"
And she goes running up to him, and you can see like this pool of brown liquid underneath him, which could be blood, I guess. I think it's supposed to be blood, but it's brown, so it looks like poop.
"I hope one of you heroes knows something about emergency care. Demetrius is trained as an EMT, but he's out cold, and this man will bleed to death without immediate treatment."
And there's a giant facsash of light, and Hannah's like,
"Now what?"
And Jake Olsen comes running out from behind a couple of wrecked police cars.
"It's me, Hannah, or more to the like, Thor transformed into mortal form," he thinks.
"Jake!"
"'Tis
silence. She need knoweth not," says Hogan.
"Such facts shall ne'er cross the lips of Volstagg."
So even though Hannah can hear them, they're kind of talking about a secret.
"This simple police kit isn't much, but it'll do."
And Jake is thinking to himself,
Strange, as Mjolnir doth ignite my transformation from god to mortal, so too did it transfigure in Rakt's minions.
But Jake, he wants to arrest you.
Yeah, because that's an excuse not to save him, right?
It's his life I care about, says Jake, and he presses a cloth or something to the throat of detective. And Demetrius at this point is regaining consciousness.
Olsen, you came back. Why would you?
Demetrius, I've stabilized O'Neill.
So evidently a few minutes has passed.
I did a minor repair on the artery, but he must get to a hospital right away.
You fixed?
As best I could. Right now I have to go.
Run, Jake, says Hannah.
Hey, turn around, Olsen, before I...
And the Demetrius goes running after Olsen, who's running away, but he's stopped by Volstagg and it bounces off his belly.
Woof,
he says, woof, woof.
Out of my way, you big...
I beg thy forgiveness, mortal. It was not my intention to interfere with thy pursuit of yon scampering evildoer.
And Jake Olsen goes running away. He's thinking to himself,
the warriors three, brave stalwarts all, shall stand guard over these mortals until more help arrives.
Jake, wait, I'm coming too, says Hannah,
and she starts taking off, and Jake has got kind of a head start here. And he's thinking to himself,
now, though, the time has come to at last put aside the problems of Midgard, that I might find the enchanters ere their attack upon my father and liege over all Asgard. Omnipotent Odin succeeds. That's a run-on sentence if there ever was one. Let fall this mortal shell, that it might be replaced by the infinitely more powerful form of the son of the Rome Eternal. Thor, god of thunder, he shouts as he goes flying off.
I like how he transforms and then flies off shouting, Thor, god of thunder. Yeah, I've made fun about that in the past. And Hannah turns the corner, is like,
Jake, it's like he disappeared.
And Thor's saying to himself, alas, I know not the location wherein the enchanters press their personal vendetta against Father Odin. Thus I must seek aid from the only one who might direct me to their thereabouts. So anyway, he goes to Avengers Mansion. And the reason why he goes to Avengers Mansion is because we need a guest star for the issue. Yeah, I've complained about this a little bit in Thor Volume 2. It seems like every issue we have to have a guest star. In this case, it is the Scarlet Witch, recently seen in Avengers 2.
Quite a problem, Thor. I'll see what I can do.
If any might track the enchanters, 'twould be thee, Wanda. 'Tis known throughout Midgard that in the ways of sorcery, the Scarlet Witch reigns supreme. Except for Doctor Strange, the Sorcerer Supreme.
I appreciate the vote of confidence. Your theory is sound. Since Enrakt inhabited your hammer as a mystic presence, it's reasonable to assume he left a trail, a magical residue that my affinity for supernatural forces can trace. Look!
And she casts a little, you know, hex spell, a little red crackle that goes into the hammer, and it draws forth an image. And we see, it looks like the enchanters and Odin.
Across the barriers of time and space, across the gulf of the dimensional rift, there you will find those you seek.
Aye, but thou hast shown me where they be. I know not the path to take me there.
There's a lot about your enchanted hammer I don't understand, Thor, but I'm willing to bet that if it knows the where, it can determine the way.
Heimdall's eyes, I can sense 'tis true. Thy prowess is exceeded only by thy beauty, says Thor,
and he grabs his hammer back and starts whirling it around, doing his Ajax White Tornado thing.
I take my leave of thee, Avenger, that I might go to the aid of Odin, ere the enchanters achieve the unthinkable.
Not without me, or not, says the Scarlet Witch.
I say thee nay, m'lady. This is an affair of gods, and gods alone.
And he vanishes, and we shift scenes to Asgard, and we have Asgard here floating on his little island in the middle of Kirby space, Rainbow Bridge kind of zigzagging out from it. And we are in the quarters of the evil Loki, and he's looking through Odin's cosmic voyeuroscope thing or whatever it is.
Fight thou well, my father, says Loki. Let the battle be waged for the longest possible time, that Loki might determine how these events might best be turned to favor his own ambition for lust and power. Would I best be served by rescuing thee, or would I leave thee to whatever fates await, be it victory or death? just as I did when thou wert prisoner of Pericus and the Dark Gods.
And we see that, you know, Odin is fighting the enchanters, and we get a little quick flashback to the Dark Gods story of Loki in ghostly form visiting Odin.
Well, do I remember our encounter then?
Loki, thou art wretch insufferable and enemy of the realm, but still art thou Asgardian. Aid us in our fight against those who threaten golden Asgard.
Methinks only a jester would suggest such a thing.
Then thou hast earned the wrath and disdain of Odin forever. I swear I'll live to one day banish thee to the most unthinkable of torments.
And we come back to the present.
Thou should have kept thy silence, father. If thee and thine other offspring Thor findest me so distasteful, then 'twould seem we are enemies indeed. So must I summon an ally to help lay the groundwork for my evil plan. One so powerful that even his name doth cause all Asgard to shudder. So do I summon Mephisto.
And we have this giant gold Kirby crackly sort of portal come out, and we have this red antenna demon thing pop out, and I guess it's Mephisto. It doesn't look like Mephisto, but okay. And we have another double page spread here. Something tells me this is gonna be a short show with all these double page spreads. Anyway, we shift to where the enchanters are fighting Odin, and it says across dimensions too numerous to name. For some reason I thought they were in Asgard, but I guess I was wrong. And the enchanters are casting spells, and they're knocking Odin back and ripping up his clothes.
Summon all thy power, Brona. Unleash every last measure of thy fury, Magnir.
Only then, with the death of the Asgardian pig Odin, shall the death of brother Forsung be avenged. Mercy, Odin, beg for it now, that we might have the pleasure of denying thee.
And Odin is laying in the ground, but he's far from beaten, as we can see.
Beg? Beg the likes of thee? I say thee nay!
And he blasts out of the huge energy blast with his scepter.
'Tis here I stand, 'tis here I fight, and should destiny decree so, 'tis here I shall perish. Until then, suffer the power unshackled that is the will of Odin.
And he's blasting him with his energy and knocking down all the rocks and stuff that are in this landscape.
'Tis laughable, Enract. He would destroy us with naught but energy.
'Twould seem the senile old goat's memory doth allow him to remember not, that not only will his attack harm us not, but 'tis within our power to absorb it as well.
Absorb it, aye, and thanks to the living talismans upon our chests, turn into creatures of living energy ourselves.
And they're being cascaded with this energy, and they glow all green and all green Kirby crackle and coming at Odin like they're Green Lantern constructs.
Strike! In Forsung's name, let's end this battle now.
Let's end the infernal Asgardian's life. Burn to ash as was our brother.
And they're trying their best, and they're all kind of, all three of them, smashing at Odin.
If the fates have marked this as the day I go forevermore to Hela's cold embrace, then I shall do so fighting without cease, that I might take thee with me as well.
The court says he dies in battle, doesn't he go to Valhalla? Yeah, I think that's the rule anyway. And all of a sudden we hear a voice from beyond.
Nay, father, 'tis not today, or any other day, that Hela's land shall claimeth thee.
And a hand reaches out. You can see it's Thor's hand. It grabs one of the enchanters by his neck.
By the darkness.
No matter how mighty thy sorcery may be, no matter how deadly thy motivation, none shall stay the hammer of Thor.
And we get another double-page spread.
'Tis the offspring of Odin. Slay them both, and our revenge will be complete.
And Thor's wading in, he's hammering on them, and they're bleeding off all this energy, a lot of energy kind of crackling off him.
I'll not make the mistake of hurling enchanted Mjolnir's energy at thee, that thou might absorb it and become stronger. Now the god of thunder shall fight as only a warrior born can. Tasty blow after hammering blow, strike after reeling strike,
as thou learnest what consequences result when art challenged the son of Imperial Mighty of the Eternal Realm. And he knocks them all back with his hammer. So I guess that's what they are weak toward. So I guess that's they're kind of weak towards physical violence, I suppose. And Thor arrives at Odin and is kind of trying to help him to his feet.
Once again, the bravest of the brave and proudest of the proud doth come to the defense. Let all the universe singeth thy praise, and know without doubt that I am proud and honored to call thee son. Were thou not yet drained from thy fight with the dark gods, noble father, thou wouldst require no help from me. Come, let us away from this place. And they get ready to leave, but the enchanters don't want this to happen.
Thou thinkest thyself safe? Thou thinkest us vanquished? Nay, Asgardians, thou art wrong. And they're kind of staggering around, Thor and Odin.
'Tis most passing strange indeed. All around us the landscape doth shift, twist, and change.
That it does, old man, to the will and whims of Enract, for this is the realm of enchanters, and it follows our heed.
And he causes the ground to rise up, and this giant sort of alien monster head sort of thing. And Thor shouts out,
by my troth, the terrain neath our feet doth live.
Hold fast, father, yon monster doth open its mammoth maw, as though to shram,
his giant sound effect, and is kind of crashed down and eaten both Thor and Odin. And we have Enract here, all still glowing all green, and Kirby Crackley says,
I swallowed them whole, my pet, for no man exists that might escape thy jaws of death.
Next issue, Deviant Life. And that is Thor, Volume 2, Number 18, also known as Thor Number 520. So, we, of course, will have something to say about this. Yeah, this is kind of a short show, folks. But first, we have one of our friends' promos.
In 1939, Timely Comics published its first issues. It later changed its name, first to Atlas Comics and then to Marvel Comics. In 2014, Marvel polled its fans asking for the 75 greatest Marvel stories from those 75 years and published that list in print form. The unofficial 75 Greatest Marvels countdown will walk through all 75 of these stories every Wednesday from December 31st, 2014 to June 1st, 2016. Join me, Blaine Dowler, and a cadre of other hosts, including established podcasting greats and emerging talents, as we run through the list, discuss each story in the context of its original release, and determine just what makes it so great. The unofficial 75 Greatest Marvels countdown can be found at Bureau42.com, on iTunes, and on Stitcher.
And we are back. So yeah, so don't have a whole heck of a lot to say about the issue. Again, it's a good solid issue. And it's mostly fighting, of course. So again, we have a combination here. It's kind of a deadly combination for what makes out to be a short show. We've got a lot of fighting, which of course takes up lots of pages. And then we've got a lot of double page spreads, which also take a lot of pages. So that makes for a pretty short issue. But I can't really complain too much. Not only do we have a gorgeous cover by Johnny Romita Jr., but the inside of the book ain't half bad either. I mean, we have some really nice things going on here. It's a little sketchy, as Romita Jr. can be sometimes. I'm guessing that the reason why we have so many double-page spreads and that kind of thing is that he was really running into some deadline issues, and maybe that had to do with, you know, one of the other series that was going on, the Eighth Day thing. I'm not really sure what's going on. Or maybe it had to do with, just other things too that we don't know about. But the artwork by and large is pretty good, and so is the writing. I think that we've got a natural continuation here of Jake's story. We've got a little bit of more of a mystery being added here for Jake Olson's character. And you know, Demetrius is probably now at this point beginning to suspect that something is different about Jake, and you know, being able to save Detective O'Neill's life, and of course, you know, being the hero when everybody thinks he's a bad guy. And of course, this is a subplot that we're going to continue to explore as Thor Volume 2 goes on. I'm not really sure how far we're going to cover Thor Volume 2 as far as this little run, but you can count on at least another 8 issues, I think, because I want to get to the end of this story, but also the 4-parter 8th Day story, because I don't want to completely forget about that. All right, so with that, it is time to wrap up the show. Yeah, short one, sorry. Once again, thanks very much for listening. Really do appreciate it. And of course, if you want to email us, you can do so. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook. Just go over to Facebook, look for us there, and you will find us. And with that, I am off to the Enchanter's Dimension to be swallowed by a giant sort of head monster wolf thingy. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.